Blog Talk Radio.
Come on and praise the Lord, everybody. Come on and bless the Lord in this place. Come on and put your hands together. Come on, we want the people of the earth, the nations, to declare His glory and His majesty. Hallelujah. Oh.
Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you. Hallelujah. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you have tuned in tonight. What an awesome day to be alive, a great day Amen. In the Lord, God is good. He woke us up this morning. Hallelujah. Start us on our way. Carry us through the day. Brought us back home safe. It is nothing but God. Hallelujah. Somebody did not make it back home today. Whether you believe that or not, somebody did not make it back home. So we can never take God for granted. God, we repent for ever taking you for granted, because God, you are so good. You are so awesome. And we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. You are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. We are Sister Pastor Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founder is Archbishop Drew W. Smith and our senior pastor, Bishop Kevin J. Jones. We are located 583 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. And we are also headquarters for the Light of the World Covenant Fellowship. Amen. And we are gearing up for Holy Convocation 2022. Oh, my goodness. It's the second week in July. Amen. And y'all are listening out there tonight. Y'all get yourself ready. Stir yourself up. Amen. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. Amen. We thank God for what he's doing. Thank God for another day. Amen. He spared our lives. And we had last night our game night at the gym. Amen. And we'll praise God for what he did. Amen. And how much fun we had last night. And we praise God. Amen. We didn't get out of there till after 11 o'clock. I think we got home. Amen. We thank and praise God for his mercy and his grace. Amen. And we bless God for you, and especially you. Tomorrow, amen, every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., amen, we have our evangelistic teaching, amen. And then we have Sunday school at 9 a.m. in the Jiminy Smith Community Center and also on YouTube. And we also have, after that, we have our worship service at 10 a.m. Oh, my God. You want to come by and you want to share with us in the name of Jesus. Amen. God is doing great things. We are feeling the presence of God. We are experiencing him. Amen. In his fullness. Amen. And we thank God. Amen. That we allow him to continue. Amen. To be in our midst. Amen. Because there's no church without God. Hallelujah. There's nothing you can do without God. You can't even breathe without God. So we thank God. Amen. And we know that on Wednesday, we have noonday Bible study. You can call the same number. Amen. Or you can come to the building. Amen. Let's study the book of Romans and see what God is saying to his people. And then at 7 p.m., we have 7 p.m. Bible study. Amen. Where Bishop Kevin Jones is preaching the word of God. It's called Word Up Wednesday. Amen. We thank God, amen, for what he has been doing. And we love God for everything that he's about to do. We bless God for our business, Butterfield's Ministries Worldwide, Inc. And we thank God we are launching our program, Boys to G-Men and Girls to Ladies. Amen. We are mentoring girls and boys, amen, that they would be able to find their way. And no matter what's going on in this world, that they would be stay focused on what their purpose are. And we are praying that God would continue to equip us, amen, to help these young people and eventually would help our nation and help our world. Amen. So pray with us, amen, for us to continue to do what God has for us to do. Amen. Tonight we have the soul winning machine who's going to bring the word of God tonight, none other than Pastor Ann Butterfield. And turn your Bible to Ephesians 4, 31 to 32. Amen. And the subject is Vengeance is Mine, said the Lord. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Amen. So get your Bible and get ready. Here comes Pastor Ann Butterfield. Amen.
God, amen. God, thank you, Pastor Stephen, for that introduction. We just give God the glory and give him the praise and the honor, and we thank God for another day and another opportunity to come before God's people and sinners alike, listening to his word on tonight or even at a later date. We thank God for it, and we just give God the glory and give him the praise and give him the honor for what he is doing in our lives. And truly, the Lord is good. He is awesome. A lot of times we think that God is doing something to us that's not good. Sometimes we think that people are doing stuff to us that's not good. And sometimes we think that we are doing something to ourselves that is not good. So we just want tonight to look at a couple of things and that will help us to be better witnesses for the Lord. Because basically when we are talking and when we are speaking, we are really evangelistical. And so whatever word we are bringing, you can use it to witness to other people. First of all, you're witnessing to yourself, and then you're going to be able to be delivered yourself and be able to witness to somebody else. It is a good thing when I speak for myself. It is good when I know that someone been blessed because of something I said, something I did, something I didn't say. So I tell you, our God is an awesome God, and he will mold us and shape us and help us to be who he wants us to be. I know that as I began to read these scriptures, you are going, he didn't already told, but Pastor Butterfield already told you the topic, but you're really going to know where I'm coming from as I read these scriptures. And my main scripture is going to be Ephesians 4, 31 through 32, but I'm going to read a couple more scriptures into your hearing before we get on into breaking the word down. All right, so we just want to encourage you to know that each and every person deal with this type of situation. We deal with this type of situation through our lives, but God wants us to come to a place where we are able to be free in him regardless to what is going on in our lives and be able to forgive and to move forward in the Lord. And so I'm going to go on and read in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read verse number 26. And number 26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath."
All right.
That is a word all by itself. Neither give place to the devil. So that is part of what we are going to be talking about tonight, because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That is the topic for tonight. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And so, therefore, we don't have to be trying to take revenge or grudges out on other people, because God will repay. Amen.
Amen.
So verse 28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that is in need." That is, that right there is helping us right there to understand that we need to be able to forgive, and we should not hold grudges, and understand that vengeance is the Lord and not ours. So therefore, if vengeance is the Lord, then that means that we should continue to walk in love and to do whatever we need to do, no matter how someone may be treating us or whatever. So it may not be an easy task, and I'm not trying to say it's easy, but I'm telling you what the word is telling us. And number 29 said, "Let no occasion proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the ear."
Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, if we got the revelation to understand that if someone did hurt our feelings or someone did something to us that are inappropriate, guess what? Vengeance is the Lord. He is going to take care of it. Amen. Mm-hmm. And this verse is saying, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth."
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't say anything that is not edifying to a person that is in your midst. Amen. Don't say anything that is going to take your own self down, you know, because we do that as well. And so in verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He don't want us to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are grieving the Holy Spirit when we are holding grudges. Amen. When we are trying to get back at something or someone
has done something, someone has done something to us, or we think they have, and we are holding grudges. Verse 31 says, and that's where we are coming from, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, mm-hmm. tenderhearted, forgiving one another, mm-hmm. even as God, wow. for Christ's sake, mm-hmm. has forgiven mm-hmm. you. My God, if that's not a word for the people of God on today, and I am encouraged to share this word with us on tonight. And the subject is vengeance, the Lord. Vengeance is the Lord's. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So let us take a look at grudges, because I believe that a majority of you that may be listening in may be saying, I don't never hold a grudge against anybody. Mm. That is a lie. The truth is not in you if you are saying that. Everybody hold a grudge at some time, but we should not practice that. We should come to a place in our life where we are mature enough to know what this scripture is saying. Be angry, but sin not. Mm-hmm. You know, don't go to bed, you know, mad and upset. So grudges, and we're going to look at the meaning of grudges because we may not know what that means. We may be just doing this stuff and not really laboring. Oh, that's just me. That's the way I am. This is the way I do stuff. Grudges. So grudges is a persistent feeling of ill will or resentment. Mm-hmm. Say resentment out there. Mm-hmm. Say resentment. Resulting from a past insult mm-hmm. or an injury. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anger, bitterness, and resentment. That is what that is what's all tied up in grudges. Mm. A bad feeling or hate, oh my God, hate, that you hold against another person for something bad they did, or you think they have done something to you bad. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that we understand that too. Sometimes person may not intend it or did anything to you bad, or if they did hurt your feelings, the person probably did because of the fact that you're holding a grudge, but it may not have been intentional. It may not have been intentional. So you do have to understand the intentional of another person toward yourself. What do you call a person who holds a grudge? Anybody out there in radio land, anybody know? What do you call a person that holds a grudge? I think that you probably don't know. So I am going to share with you what the person is called that holds a grudge. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what they are called. Vindictive.
Wow.
They are vindictive people. All right, they are vindictive. Vindictive, let's see what vindictive means. Means spitefully vengeful. They are vengeful and suggests the harboring of grudges for imagined wrong until the vindictive person would be satisfied, and perhaps even the vindictive person may even enjoy being upset with another person. They are holding a grudge, and they may just be holding the grudge and be happy with the fact that they are holding a grudge, and they are not going to be happy until they see bad things come to that person. That is what they're looking for. That's what they're looking to see. See the object of his hatred suffered, and the whatever, however deep
your grudge is you want to see that hatred on another person because they have hurt you. And so that is what hinders us from being able to witness to people. That is the reason why the anointing will not flow through us to get done the task that God has set before us. Now, God has already told us if we are born again, then now we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be witnesses and tell people about Jesus, but if we are holding a grudge against someone, let me tell you, you can't go and tell nobody anything because you need to get your own self straight right now. A grudge is unhealthy. That is another question. Mm-hmm. Is grudges unhealthy? Now, we already said grudges. When you're holding a grudge, that person is dealing with a vindictive spirit. And so now a grudge is unhealthy. Countless studies have showed that holding grudges and keeping negative feelings is bad for your mental health. It's bad for your mental health. And if it's bad for your mental health is bad, then that ends up that your physical health is going to be bad as well. But it starts out, a lot of times these things, vengeance, it starts out in the spirit, you know, in your mind, in your heart, and it becomes vengeful. And so therefore it began to work on you in the spirit, and it began to work on you in a manner that you want to see bad things happen to other people. It's going to end up that you are going to be very unhealthy. You can't stay in that state of mind for no long period of time. You can't stay in that state of mind. And I think that there is a lot of Christian people that are out here and feel like it's okay to hold a grudge. It's okay to be unhappy concerning something that somebody has done to you. But God say vengeance is mine and he will repay. So I don't think that we really believe the word of God because of the fact of how we communicate one with another. So we got to make sure that we do understand that holding a grudge and being vindictive is bad to your health, your mental health. And so if it's bad to the mental health, then it's going to be bad to your physical health as well. Holy Spirit does not dwell in a person who holds grudges. Let go of this evil monster so that God can bless you. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm really not trying to tell you that God is not still in you. You born again and all of that. You born again and you holding a grudge or whatever. I'm not saying that God is not with you, but I'm gonna tell you, you can call on him and he won't even be hearing you at that time. He would not answer you at that. He probably is answering. He's saying, not now, until you surrender yourself unto me. You know. So, but the Holy Spirit does not. He don't do his best work with us when we are holding grudges. So it is very important that as a born-again Christian that we let go of any malice, any hatred, any grudges, anything that we may think, that we feel it's okay. It's okay for us to, I'm looking for another word, but if you feel like it's okay for you to hold that grudge, but we must justify you feel justified in holding that grudge. You feel justified in being vindictive, and you feel happy when you see judgment coming up on the person that you are holding the grudge against. That is real bad spirit.
Wow.
And so it's not just going to be happening to you, but things are going to be happening to other people, and things are going to be happening to the person that is holding the grudge. Amen. So it is very important that we forgive, because God made it very clear to us, saying if we don't forgive, then he won't forgive us. So mm-hmm. how we feel like mm-hmm. we can just walk around here and be angry with people mm-hmm. and not talk and say anything and talk in a kind of way and think that God is just going to bless and going to bless and going to bless. He is not going to keep on blessing. After a while, he's going to bring this stuff to a head, mm-hmm. and you're not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking you tonight, those of you that are listening in on tonight, or maybe you listen at this message on a later date, let me tell you, take heed that I am speaking from what the Lord has given unto me.
Mm-hmm.
I am speaking a word that God gave me last week before. That it is very, very important that we do not allow the enemy to come in mm-hmm. and steal our joy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come in and take up residence mm-hmm. in us and begin to rule. And he get in and he going to drive you.
Mm-hmm.
He going to drive you. He just won't be a passenger. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to be no passenger. He going to mm-hmm. start driving. And when he gets you to your destination that he want to get you to, he going to turn you loose and you're going to be flipped out there by yourself. And the only way that you're going to get back is that you're going to have to repent and come to God. And that is the thing that we don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, and I can talk about it because I remember some years ago, I was so angry. I was so angry with this person. Because they did not do what they were supposed to do, and I was so angry, but I felt so justified because it really threw me out of my comfort zone of having to do certain things and then try to get to work by 7 and all of that. So I felt so angry, and I felt justified for them. And I found out that when I wanted to let go, when I wanted to let go and then be in fellowship with this person, be in fellowship with them, I couldn't. It had me bound. You know why? Because I had grabbed hold to that resentment. I had grabbed hold to it, angry. I was feeling resentful and all of that. So when I was trying to come out of it, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And so one night I was with the ministers, and they prayed for me. They didn't even know what they were praying for, but they prayed. I didn't feel not one thing with them praying, not nothing. I did not feel no release.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel no anointing. I ain't feel here. They were praying, but I didn't feel no. I didn't hear an anointed voice.
Mm.
That, hey, I can listen to this and I know I'm going to be delivered and set free. I didn't hear that, but guess what? I didn't know it. I was so messed up. I didn't know it because in about 3 or 4 days after that, my Lord, the Spirit of God came upon me, released me, and
wow.
I was able to talk to this person, get up, take them on the school. And all of that, and because I was getting up and I was taking them to school, and I wasn't even talking. I was not talking. And so that particular morning was an evening. I was getting my hair done, I went home, and I was able to talk to them. And then the next morning I woke them up because if they didn't wake up on their own when I was angry, you ain't going to school today because I'm going to get myself ready and I'm going on to work, you know. So I'm telling you, it can have you really, really acting out.
Mm-hmm.
And God don't want us to act out. He want us to really walk in love. But that's been a long time. And I always said this, that I had never felt like that before. And I do not want to feel like that, not never again. That's why I try to cover myself and keep my spirit covered. Even if things come up, I try to keep myself covered so that I don't get to that place. Because I'm telling you, the enemy will come in. And I said, pray to God he keep me covered right now in the name of Jesus. So I want to talk a little bit about, I know you got a testimony out there too. I know you got a testimony. How to let go of a grudge. How to let go of a grudge. And first of all, you have to admit that you have a grudge. It's like the 12-step program. You got to admit, I got a grudge. I'm being vindictive, and I know it. You got to come to that place in your life of saying, I know I got a grudge against this person. I know I got a grudge. It could be against your own self, but I know I got a grudge. So you have to acknowledge the grudge. Also, you have to communicate. You have to communicate with the person. You have to communicate. Is this in a way possible to communicate? If a person has died and gone on to glory and you did not get it straight, then God do not want you to continue to rest in that. He wants you to pray to him and get that forgiveness. And also you can talk it out. It's good to talk it out just like you're talking to the person. And then release it out. Release it. Talk it. Release it. Ask God to forgive you and begin to try to move forward in the Lord. And I'm pretty sure it's not easy to go through this type of situation if the person is no longer around for you to talk to them and they talk back with you. It's not even a good feeling to try to talk to a person and they don't listen if you're trying to apologize. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that's horrible as well. So either one of these situations can be pretty horrible. But if we would go on and turn it over to God, God will help us make it through.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to acknowledge, and then you got to communicate. First of all, you got to communicate with yourself by acknowledging, and then you got to communicate with God, and you got to communicate with the person that you may be having a grudge against. See the situation from a different perspective. You may not understand why someone said something or did something or whatever that caused you to be offended and holding a grudge. So when you communicate, you'll find out a lot more about why the situation happened the way it did. You'll find out that person went through a whole bunch of crap during the time they was young, and they never gotten over it. So when something rises up in them, they just may say things out without thinking because they are dealing with some type of hurt of themselves. And a lot of times, if we understand that another person is hurting from a situation or circumstance, now we as Christians, we will have sympathy and sometimes empathy, compassion for that person. We have compassion for the person. We'll be quick and easy to forgive. But if you ain't trying to communicate, you don't get to that place because you don't hear what they done went through. You don't hear the situation. You don't hear the circumstances. So see the situation from a different perspective. And the way you do that is talking it out. And if you seeing it from a different perspective too, is that you go to the person, they ain't trying to receive your forgiveness, then you can just apologize and then you can keep on moving forward in God because you have done what you need to do. You can't do any more when you have apologized. That's what you need to do. Now you need to keep moving forward, and you keep speaking, you keep communicating. You don't have to be like two best friends or anything like that, but you if it's not a situation like that, you don't have to do that, but you have to continue to be cordial with the person. Accept the situation, accept whatever has been said, but acceptance not meaning that you have to accept something, that somebody has called you a name or something. You do not have to accept that. Talking about just accepting that you have been hurt, or accepting the fact that you did hurt someone or whatever. So you have to just, in the situation, because it ends up being two people more than one person that's dealing with holding a grudge. You know, if somebody did something to you that you thought that they intended to do to hurt your feelings. So, and don't dwell on it. A lot of times what we do is we dwell on our hurts. If we've been hurt by someone, we dwell on it. We even talk to ourselves about it, and we talk about how we're going to tell them off, and all of these types of things come up in our spirit, and a lot of times those things don't even never come out, but you having that situation, you having that talk with yourself, that's why it can really end up being very unhealthy on the mental health level, because you can keep on doing that, and it ends up that you're just causing more problems on yourself if you're holding a grudge against someone. You also have to try to see how you can stay positive in the situation. Mm-hmm. How can I stay positive? Because sometimes you're dealing with husband and wife situation, or a mother and a father, and you still live in the same house together, or sisters and brothers, and you still live in the same house together. I was kind of speaking from the level of it's a friend, and they live where they live, and you live where you live, but really, actually, it could be the folks that's in the house, which you've got to deal with these folks every day. So really, actually, you have to learn how to stay positive in the situation. And when you're dealing with spouses, and when you're dealing with parents, and you're dealing with sisters and brothers, and you still live in the same household and all of that, you have to learn how to come to a full circle of repentance. That's with everybody, but when you're in the household, you now got to communicate with that person or those people or persons on a daily basis. You got to make sure that you are communicating with them. Other than that, you're in a household and you are miserable. And so you're making other people miserable, and other people making you miserable. So you have to make sure that you stay positive. Got to stay positive and choose to forgive. That is going to be key. And so we were talking about how to let go of grudges. You have to choose to forgive. You have to choose to forgive whatever the situation is. You have to choose to forgive. Now, I tell you, there could be, like a husband and wife situation, there could be some things going on that the majority of us cannot. It would be hard to forgive certain things. I mean, if my husband did certain stuff, it would be so hard to forgive certain things. I could just think about a couple of things right now. But I pray that God keep me covered and those things don't happen. But I'm just saying that we have to make sure that we be realistic in the fact that there are things that come up in our lives, and we do have to make sure that we choose to forgive when that time comes that you have to forgive. You need to be forgiven. So we are talking about vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So now when we are holding grudges, we read the scripture already in Ephesians 4:31-32, let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. be kind one to another. So we can keep in mind that we need to be kind to one another. We need to be kind to one another. And Matthew 6:14-15 says, For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. Now, I know that we don't want to be caught in that situation because God is not vindictive, but he is true to his word. And so if the word has said forgive, then he means just that. That means that we have to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
We have to forgive. And so evidently we can do it. It may take us a little time to do it, but we can do it. But I do believe that we, at that time, you'll have to put all your trust in God. Now, because I'm not just talking about this little stuff like I'm upset about this, I'm upset about that, but I'm talking about holding a grudge. I have been in the presence of people who says that they don't talk to their family members. They don't talk to them. They haven't talked to them 10, 20, 30 years. Don't even know where they are. And then some of them know where they are. And one girl told me that she and her sister hadn't talked for a long period of time. And then they ended up, I was saying, girl, you need to talk to your sister, talk to your sister. And ended up talking to her sister. They got on better terms, and the sister passed.
Wow.
I was like, Lord,
wow,
have mercy, Jesus.
Wow.
The sister passed. And then my husband and I, since we've been married, we was somewhere in a restaurant in a, we was talking to a lady, and we was telling her that she should forgive the person that they had some little disagreement or something. And I don't know if it was grudges or whatever that she was holding on to, but it was some type of unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept on saying, well, I don't forgave her. I'm going to get with her. I'm going to get with her. And I was saying, we were saying, you need to get with her now. You need to, you know, you don't know the day or the hour. You need to get with her now. And I don't even think we was really going that deep to say you don't know if you're going to be here tomorrow or anything like that. I think we were just saying you need to do that. You need to go on and do that. And she said she was going to when she got a moment to do it. But let me tell you, she died in another couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
She died in another couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Sure did. She died. But that same person, her friend, came out and spoke over her good stuff. Because I remember when they was buddies. And so it's important that we get rid of vindictive attitude, get rid of grudges and everything and unforgiveness in our hearts, because God, he's not pleased with it. Romans 12:17-21, and I'm not going to read it. It says, repay no evil for evil.
Mm.
We cannot repay evil for evil. Sometimes when people hurt people, then they try to hurt you back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a good example, like a husband and a wife, a man cheat or a woman cheat, whichever one cheat, then the other one decides that they're going to go cheat too. It's what it is.
Crazy.
Tit for tat. It ain't going to do nobody no good. It is not going to do anybody any good.
No good.
It ain't if I go out and cheat and then Pastor Butterfield want to try. He going to go and do that same thing. It ain't going to be nothing. We just going to be a hot mess. We just going to be a hot mess. That's what we going to be. So I want you guys, if anybody out there that's dealing with any type of issues, I want you to go to that person and try to communicate with them and try to get it straight. Forgive, communicate. Forgive, because that's what God wants you to do. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And don't try to repay evil for evil, because it do not work.
Mm-hmm.
It do not work. And there's a scripture that talks about everything that is done for the good of them that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose. Called according to his purpose. And I'm not saying it'll feel good, but it's going to work out for your good because you are born again. Those of you out there in radio land that is not, if you're not born again, you will not understand and probably cannot do what I'm talking about. So you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so you can call upon the Father. If you're not born again, you don't even have a Father to call upon. You just got you. It's just you, and then you can go to some other person and talk to them, and they may be able to help you to feel better for a minute, but it's coming right back. It's not going nowhere. It's coming right back. So I want to encourage you to forgive. Inspired by a grudge, and I want us to talk a little bit about that, because I want to help us to know that even when you have a grudge, it may be a bad thing, but there is some inspiration that you can get with a grudge. Help you to show great interest in others, friends, your friends and family. In other words, you holding the grudge and you are holding the grudge against someone, somebody else, the person that you're holding the grudge against, they have a work to do as well. The thing is that once you come through this thing, you are now going to be considerate of other people. That's how you become a witness. You become considerate of other people. You don't want to hurt their feelings because you done already got hurt, and that thing hurt you so bad until you do not want to go through that again, and you don't want nobody else to go through it. You got that compassion. You have that compassion now for your friends. So there's some inspiration in having this grudge. That's why we're saying everything worked together for the good of them that love the Lord. God is going to give you a way out, and God is going to give you a way to move forward. A grudge can cause you to be motivational. I mean, you may be to be better for someone else because you have come out of that type of situation, and you can be a witness and tell me, I went through, like I just testified, or what I went through. You'll be able to testify what you went through. You ain't trying to go through it no more, but you went through it already. You don't have to do that no more. You can keep moving. And instructive. And the Holy Ghost instructed you and me to come out of whatever it was that we was in. And so now you can be instructional and instruct another person to do the same by using God and the Holy Spirit. And justice. Providing for justice, provide for us, because we are justified already before the foundation of the world. We were justified. God had already justified us. We have to get in line with him so we can know that we've been justified. And then positive feelings empowers us and helps us to be wise. And helps us to protect ourselves and also protect others. Also, it helps us to be grateful. Helps us to be grateful. So Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook any offense. God wants us to overlook any offense. So God is slow to anger. He wants us to be slow to anger too. So I want to encourage you tonight to let God do what he do, and we do what the word they do, and we'll live a better life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And, you know, holding grudge and taking offense. One thing about offense is you got to take it. And that's the key to it.
Yeah.
That because we can get offended in anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to be careful when we something can't come in our mind that, well, this person did that to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be careful on how we think and don't try to condemn that person
mm-hmm.
and before we understand. Because one of the things you said, they can think that somebody did something to them.
Right.
So that happens a lot where we make an assumption
mm-hmm.
that somebody's saying a certain thing about you. And you
intentionally.
And all you
do,
get clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you find out, you say communicate.
Mm-hmm.
You communicate, you'll find out that it's just all a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you don't have to hold grudge. You don't have to be upset because the person didn't mean what you thought they meant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it pays to communicate and communicate clearly.
That's right.
So there's understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be misunderstood. You don't have to be assuming anything.
Right,
because
right.
Especially if you both speak the same language, English.
Uh-huh.
Just ask the question to get a clarity
and
move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times people don't have the patience to ask
mm-hmm.
the right questions and
mm-hmm.
then answer the question that the person
mm-hmm.
asked and don't get impatient with them
mm-hmm.
trying to get a good understanding on what you're saying
mm-hmm.
because it's going to help communication.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is clear and precise information being
right.
transferred
mm-hmm.
and being accepted
mm-hmm.
the way it was intended
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To be sent. And
right.
so a lot of times people have filters
mm-hmm.
in what they hear, and
mm-hmm.
that distorts
mm-hmm.
what they hear. And all of a sudden, there's an offense, and then
right.
the offense wasn't even intended.
Uh-huh.
So we got to be careful how we communicate with each other and always, like as Michelle Obama said, take the high road.
Take the high road.
Don't go low. Take the high road. And so don't bring yourself down to people's level.
Mm-hmm.
Be a saint no matter what. Be a Christian no matter what, because everything we do, like my wife was teaching today on evangelism,
mm-hmm.
It's everything you do is evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
People are gonna take what you do, what you say,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I had a thought today. I was gonna say, are you guilty
mm-hmm.
of being a Christian?
So you guilty of being a Christian?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
How would you stand? Would you be indicted?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Would you be indicted?
Oh, yeah.
Is there a witness or evidence?
Yes.
Proof against you? That's
guilty.
What I was going to teach tomorrow morning.
Guilty.
Would you be found guilty
mm.
of being a Christian?
Mm.
Did you? And so ooh. When you're being indicted, you have to have three things that they look for. That you have to have motive,
mm-hmm.
means, and opportunity.
All right.
And so if you have those three things, but if you're saved, you want to do what's right. You want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a clear mind. So we got to communicate clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't make assumptions on stuff, and,
mm-hmm.
and especially negative assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the best of people.
Right.
And let them be the one wrong if anybody's wrong. So we thank
mm-hmm.
God for this word. We praise God for it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And
amen.
We want you to continue to pray with us, pray
mm-hmm.
for us. Amen.
Amen.
And God will continue to bless
mm-hmm.
them and mm-hmm. Amen. The works of our hands
mm-hmm.
in the name of Jesus. So we want you to tell your neighbors, tell your friends on
mm-hmm.
next Saturday, every Saturday at 8 p.m. to dial
917-388-4161 to turn on the live broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.